So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas, everyone. And Happy New Year. For those of you who are confused, please remember that there are 12 days of Christmas, so it is still appropriate to say Merry Christmas. And why shouldn't we still be celebrating Christmas? A week ago, we came together to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. A week ago, we came together to remember that God chose to become human to be counted as one of us. A week ago today, we came together to remember a God who, in the words of Paul, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. In considering that, I'd like to suggest that 12 days of celebrating Christmas are not nearly enough. We don't have enough days in the year to celebrate a God who loved us enough to become one of us. But for the sake of not having to listen to bad Christmas music every time we leave the house, and I might very well go crazy if I hear "All I Want for Christmas Is You" one more time, we can perhaps restrict ourselves to 12 days of Christmas. As long as we remember every day the fact that God loved us enough to become one of us, so long as every day that we, like the shepherds in today's gospel, make haste to find God wherever God is, wherever he might be found in the world, and then, like the shepherds, go out glorifying God and praising God after we have found God. Now, today, we celebrate the holy name of Jesus. We celebrate the very name Jesus. Why? The gospel tells us he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. If we remember, the angel also told Mary that the child would be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians today that Jesus is given a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend. What's in a name? Well, first, the very name Jesus is actually Joshua or Yeshua. It literally means Yahweh saves, God saves. Jesus' name tells us everything we need to know about him. First, the very name of God, Yahweh, is embedded in Jesus' name. This is fitting because Jesus is God incarnate, the God who becomes human. And why does God become human? What does God do? God saves us. So Jesus' very name tells us his entire story, the God who becomes human to save us. To save us from what? We say things like sin and death, but do we know what that means? Let's break it down a little. Sin is not being like God. It's doing or saying something that is not something God would do or say. It's a way of being that is different from God, unlike God, opposed to God. Now, at a glance, that sounds rough. How many of us actually act exactly as God would in every situation? Which makes us ask, how can we be expected to act like God? Now hold on to that question, because it's going to be important. The second thing we say is Jesus saves us from death. What is death? It's the absence of life. So where does life come from? Life comes from God. We say that God is the source of light and life. We see God breathe life into all things in Genesis. God gives life to God's creation. So if Jesus comes to save us from death, Jesus is coming to give us life from God. Now, what does the name of Jesus have to do with all of this? Remember what else the angel said to Mary. He shall be called the Son of God. And Jesus, as the Son of God, taught us what prayer? Anyone? The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. When we pray as Jesus taught us, we say, Our Father. We don't say, Jesus, Father, who art in heaven. We say, our Father, who art in heaven. So Jesus, as the Son of God, makes us sons and daughters of God. That is how Jesus saves us. That is how Jesus gives us God's life. He makes us sons and daughters of God just like him. So this isn't just a story of a God who loved us enough to become one of us. This is the story of a God who loves us so much, he becomes one of us to make us like God. Jesus invites us to live the divine life. That brings us back to the question we asked earlier. How can we live the divine life? How can we be like God or act like God? First, let's see if we already have a start. In our Old Testament reading, God gives Moses and Aaron a special blessing and then says, "So they shall put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." God's name being on someone marks them as God's own. It's a sign of ownership. And God says, "They shall put my name on them and I will bless them." When God, what God owns, God never gives up. Those who God keeps forever. Those who belong to God, God blesses. Look at Jesus. God's name was on him. Yeshua, Yahweh saves. And as we said, Jesus shares in God's life. Now we have to ask, is God's name on us? Yes. Remember our baptism. After we were washed clean with the water, the priest marked our foreheads with chrism and said, "You are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." If we are Christ's own, then his name is on us. If the name of Jesus is on us, then God's name is on us. If we are God's, we are God's forever, and we are blessed. That ought to be of great comfort to all of us. Because the same Jesus in whose name we are marked is the same Jesus who taught us to call God our Father. So we are not just marked as God's possessions. We are marked as God's sons and daughters. Next, remember the question about how to act like God, to live the divine life. Let's look at Philippians. Paul says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a human." We have to have the mind of Christ in order to be like God, which means we have to be willing to empty ourselves. It means that, like Jesus, we have to be willing to humble ourselves and go to people who are in need of God's life and God's love. As Jesus did for us, so we do for others. The poor, the homeless, the sick, the lonely, the refugee. As Jesus came to be with us, so we must go to be with them. And Paul reminds us that Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This tells us that we have to be willing to lose everything for God. But remember, when we give up everything for God, we live the divine life. If we give God our everything, God gives us God's everything. I don't think I need to tell you that God's everything is a lot more than our everything. And a final note on humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves, emptying ourselves to be with God's people, to share God's message of love and life, does not mean letting people walk all over us. Being humble, emptying ourselves to be like Christ, does not mean that we have to mildly accept cruelty, abuse, or slander. We are made in God's image. We are marked as Christ's own. We are given the privilege of calling God our Father. We are Christ's brothers and sisters, which means we have dignity. It means we don't have to let others treat us in a way that we wouldn't want to see Jesus treated. because Jesus gives us his dignity. And while Jesus died a humiliating death on a cross, he did it to accomplish the greatest good for the whole world. He didn't let people walk all over him in his earthly ministry. He repeatedly called down cruel people, arrogant people, rude people, because he would not allow his adopted brothers and sisters to be treated as anything less than sons and daughters of God. And that is why we have to celebrate Christmas for at least 12 days, if not every single day. My brothers and sisters, I pray that we would remember the God who loved us to become one of us today. I pray that today we would celebrate the God who loved us enough to make us his children. I pray that today we would grow closer to God, acting as God would, humbling ourselves to bring God's love, God's life, and God's dignity to everyone who needs it. And finally, I pray that we would remember that we who belong to God are blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
For those of you who are confused, please remember that there are 12 days of Christmas, so it is still appropriate to say Merry Christmas. And why shouldn't we still be celebrating Christmas? A week ago today, we came together to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. A week ago, we came together to remember that God chose to become human to be counted as one of us. A week ago today, we came to remember a God who, in the words of Paul today, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. In considering that, I'd like to suggest that celebrating 12 days of Christmas are not nearly enough. We don't have enough days in the year to celebrate a God who loved us enough to become one of us. But for the sake of not having to listen to bad Christmas music every time I leave my house, and I might very well go crazy if I hear "All I Want for Christmas Is You" one more time, we can perhaps restrict ourselves to 12 days of Christmas, as long as we remember every day the fact that our God loved us enough to become one of us. So long as every day we, like the shepherds in today's gospel, make haste to find the God who is one of us, wherever he might be found in the world, and then, like the shepherds, go out glorifying and praising God after we have found him. Now, today, we celebrate the holy name of Jesus. We celebrate the very name Jesus. Why? The gospel tells us that he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. If we remember, the angel also told Mary that the child would be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians today that Jesus is given a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend. What's in a name? Well, first, the very name of Jesus is actually Joshua, or Yeshua. It literally means Yahweh saves. God saves. Jesus' name tells us everything we need to know about him. First, the very name of God, Yahweh, is embedded in Jesus' name. This is fitting because Jesus is God incarnate, the God who becomes human. And why does God become human? What does God do? God saves us. So Jesus' very name tells us his story, the God who became human to save us. To save us from what? We say things like sin and death, but do we know what that means? Let's break it down a little. Sin is not being like God. It's doing or saying something that God would not do or say. It's a way of being that is different from God, unlike God, opposed to God. Now, at a glance, that sounds rough. How many of us act exactly as God would in every situation? Which makes us ask, how can we be expected to act like God? Hold on to that question, because it's important. The second thing we say Jesus saves us from is death. What is death? It's the absence of life. So where does life come from? Life comes from God. We say that God is the source of light and life. We see God breathe life into all things in Genesis. God gives life to God's creation. So if Jesus comes to save us from death, Jesus is coming to give us life from God. So what does the name Jesus have to do with all of that? Remember what else the angel said to Mary. He shall be called the Son of God. And Jesus, as the Son of God, taught us what prayer? The Our Father. So when we pray, as Jesus taught us, we say, Our Father. We don't say, Jesus, Father, who art in heaven. We say, Our Father, who art in heaven. So Jesus, as the Son of God, makes us sons and daughters of God. That is how Jesus saves us. That is how Jesus gives us God's life. He makes us sons and daughters of God just like him. So this isn't just a story of a God who loved us enough to become one of us. This is the story of a God who loved us so much to become one of us, to make us like God. Jesus invites us to live the divine life. That brings us back to the question we asked earlier. How can we live the divine life? How can we be like God or act like God? First, let's see if we already have a start. In our Old Testament reading, God gives Moses and Aaron a special blessing and then says, "So they shall put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." God's name being on someone marks them as God's own. It's a sign of ownership. And God says, "They shall put my name on them and I will bless them." What God owns, God never gives up. Those who God keeps forever. Those who belong to God, God blesses. Look at Jesus. God's name was on him. Yeshua, Yahweh saves. And as we said, Jesus shares in God's life. Now we have to ask, is God's name on us? Yes. Remember our baptism. After we were washed clean with the water, the priest marked our foreheads with chrism and said, "You are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." If we are Christ's own, then his name is on us. If the name of Jesus is on us, then God's name is on us. If we are God's, we are God's forever, and we are blessed. That ought to be a great comfort to all of us. Because the same Jesus in whose name we are marked is the same Jesus who taught us to call God our Father. So we are not just marked as God's possessions. We are marked as God's sons and daughters. Next, remembering our question on how to act like God, to live into the divine life, let's look at Philippians. Paul tells us, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a human." We have to have the mind of Christ in order to be like God, which means we have to be willing to empty ourselves. It means that like Jesus, we have to be willing to humble ourselves and to go to people who are in need of God's life and God's love. As Jesus did for us, so we do for others. The poor, the homeless, the sick, the lonely, the refugee. As Jesus came to be with us, so we must go to be with them. And Paul reminds us that Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This tells us that we have to be willing to lose everything for God. But remember, when we give up everything for God, we live the divine life. If we give God our everything, God gives us God's everything. And I don't think I need to tell you that God's everything is a lot more than our everything. And a final note on humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves, emptying ourselves to be with God's people, to share God's message of love and life, does not mean letting people walk all over us. Being humble, emptying ourselves to be with God's people, to share God's message of love and life, it doesn't mean we have to mildly accept cruelty, abuse, or slander. We are made in God's image. We are marked as Christ's own. We are given the privilege of calling God our Father. We are Christ's brothers and sisters, which means we have dignity. It means we don't have to let others treat us in a way that we wouldn't want to see Jesus treated. Because Jesus gives us his dignity. And while Jesus died a humiliating death on a cross, he did it to accomplish the greatest good for the whole world. He didn't let people walk all over him in his earthly ministry. He repeatedly called down cruel people, arrogant people, rude people, because he would not allow his adopted brothers and sisters to be treated as anything less than sons and daughters of God. And that is why we have to celebrate Christmas for at least 12 days, if not every single day. My brothers and sisters, I pray that today we remember the God who loved us enough to become one of us. I pray that today we would celebrate the God who loved us enough to make us his children. I pray that today we would grow closer to God, acting as God would, humbling ourselves to bring God's love and God's life and God's dignity to everyone.